Title of today's sermon is Grow in Grace. Can we say that together? Grow in Grace. Amen. And before I start, let me just emphasize again what Brother D said. That was Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says, no man can serve what? Two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted or loyal to the one and despise the other. And you know, like, you know, when you read that, and I didn't finish it, and then it says, you cannot serve God and what? Mammon. Amen? And now when you read that, no man can serve two masters, you're thinking, okay, it's God and the devil. Yeah? And of course, because you are a believer, or if you are, either you're a believer or you're an aspiring one, you're like, oh, I'm not serving the devil. I don't plan to serve the devil. So that doesn't really apply to me. Yeah? But yesterday at the conference we attended, you know, the preacher made us understand that you need to begin to understand that the second master we're talking about is not so far away like the devil. It's actually yourself. Because all your life, the person you have loved most is yourself. You love yourself. And I was listening to Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. Listen to it on audiobook. And it says something like, you know, you may not like yourself from time to time. You may not like something about yourself, but you still love yourself when you don't like yourself. Because you are still going to watch out for your best interest. And it says that when God says that you should love your neighbor as yourself, what it's really telling you is that you don't have to like your neighbor. You just have to watch out for their best interest, the same way you will watch out for your best interest all the time. Hallelujah. You love yourself. That's something that nobody has to train you to do. And that's the second master that may stop you from serving Jesus. Amen. And that's why you just say, well, if anyone comes after me, let him deny what? And take up his cross and follow me. Because whoever will try to save his life, we lose it. Because they'll be watching out for themselves. And that will fight what God wants to do in your life. You know, the greatest blessing that God wants to give you, and I'm going to say something like that may be unpopular to some brand of Christianity. The greatest thing that God wants to give you is not happiness. Amen? It's not as if like God is a Father Christmas trying to make you happy all the time. Sweet candy. Saint Nicholas. Not the one we have here. Hallelujah. The greatest thing that God wants to give you is transformation. Hallelujah. He actually wants to give you life. Not the human life. The human life, yeah, can come from that Greek word called bios. The biological life. Yeah? He already gave you that. Amen? You already have human life. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I have come so that you can have life. Hallelujah. That's more than bios, because you already have the bios. He wants to give you Zoe. Hallelujah. And Zoe is a transforming life. Zoe is your destiny in Christ. Zoe is God's plan for you. Zoe goes beyond what you can achieve with your brain. You need what to achieve Zoe? What do you need? You need grace. Hallelujah. Is the life of God. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. That's why we say that eternal life is a gift. Hallelujah. It's the life of God. It supersedes what you already have as a human. And that's the greatest blessing. Because in the transformation that God does in your life is every other blessing that he wants to give to you. Hallelujah. Anything an unbeliever can do, yeah, is not the primary business of God in your life. You didn't need God for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when you come to Christ, he does in your life what you could not have been achieved if you were not in Christ. Amen. So you are not in Christ to compete with unbelievers. Hallelujah. You have a different kind of life. That is beyond, that supersedes what they have. They don't have what you have. Hallelujah. You're not trying to sell to them what they can already acquire. Amen. Anybody here wants to be rich? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody here likes to be poor? Amen. You see, you don't have to be a Christian to feel that way. Amen. The unbeliever also feels that way. And they can compete with you very well. Hallelujah. However, your Christianity is not about getting rich. Amen? In material things. Amen? But your Christianity is about getting rich in your relationship with God. Now some say, well, what value is my relationship with God? Amen? When you are rich in your relationship with God, it means that you can function the way God designed you to function. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. We picked this from the Home Fellowship, our Home Fellowship last Friday, our Bible study. That was the memory verse. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And of course, I've not yet started my main sermon, but I wanted to just pick from my heart a few things. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. If you have it, let's have it. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Yes? Yes, thank you. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 11.
New Living.
Yes.
You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased.
Hallelujah. They exist because what? You created what you pleased. Another version, Revelation 4:11. Yes. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11.
Amplified.
Yes.
Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and dominion, for you created all things. By your will they were brought into being.
By your will they were brought into being. Continue.
And were created.
And were created. Any other person wants to say their own version? I can take one more. Revelation 4:11 ESV.
Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.
By your will. Someone say with me, says by God's will, I exist. You know, there's a philosopher that said, you know, I think, therefore I am. Yeah? But that's only half the story. Amen. Because the part of the story he has not revealed to you is that, how come you think? Who made you, who gave you the ability? So I can think, therefore I exist. Yes, we agree? We agree? But where did that ability come from? Hallelujah. It's by God's will that you exist. Hallelujah. Another way of saying is that your existence, yeah, the purpose of your existence is for His glory. Hallelujah. And if you are not bringing glory to Him, you are not fulfilling the purpose of your existence. Now, the issue is that you don't get to define what it means to bring glory to God. It's God that gets to define it. Hallelujah. You say, oh Lord, I aced my A-levels. A-level English. And media, I ace them. You know, I have brought glory to you. You know, it doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. You bring glory to God by doing what God wants from you. Hallelujah. If God says, stay in Basingstoke, and you decide to move to Uxbridge, you don't bring glory to God by moving to Uxbridge, because that's not what He wanted. Oh, He might have told somebody else to move to Uxbridge. That's why, that's the value of your relationship with God. True relationship with God, you know His will for your life. Hallelujah. And it is in fulfilling God's will for your life that you are really existing. Because you exist by his will. So anytime I'm not doing the will of God, yeah, I am living, but I'm not really fulfilling the purpose of my life. Hallelujah. And even to do the will of God, you need the grace of God. Hallelujah. To do the will of God, what do you need? You need the grace of God. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 1. That was the first Bible reading. John chapter 1. Let's start from there. Let's not start from there. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and let's read verse 2. Just verse 2. 2 Peter, verse 2. 2 Peter 2. If you had the mic, just start with it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Yes, who has my mic? Oh, sorry. Okay, who's ready? So, like in this church, everybody reads. So, what we're trying to do is give you my goal when I'm preaching or teaching is I want to help you achieve maximum engagement. I want to give you the best value of that time. That's why I preach and teach like this. 2 Peter 1, 2. Yes? Who's ready? Yes. 2 Peter 1, 2. Tell us the version.
This is NKJV. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior.
Grace and peace be multiplied
Jesus
to
our
you
Lord.
In the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Another version, please. 2 Peter 1, 2. Yes? 2 Peter 1, 2. Tell us the version.
New Living Translation.
Yeah, go for it.
May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord.
May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow, what? In your knowledge of God and Jesus. Yes, who has the old King James? The good old King James. Sometimes I go there when I need something very original. 2 Peter 1, 2.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge.
Through! That's what I was looking for. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Continue.
Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Hallelujah. So how, if you want grace to multiply in your life, how do you achieve that? Based on 2 Peter 1, 2. Yes? Who is here with me? Who is paying attention? Yes? Based on 2 Peter 1, 2. You want grace. Say, I want more grace.
By growing our knowledge of God.
Yeah. You know, it's like somebody wore a very nice outfit. Yeah? And they look very pretty. I saw one picture on which day? On Friday evening. And the lady was looking very pretty. I won't tell you which of the ladies. Amen. You know, and said, oh, sister, you look, they put their picture on Facebook. Not this picture I saw, but they took a nice picture in a nice outfit and they put it on social media. And people are commenting, you look gorgeous. You look pretty. You look fabulous. You look what? Amazing, stunning, whatever. And then what she replies, this is hypothetic, it's not a person. You say, it's grace. Hallelujah. And that's not how grace is multiplied. Grace is not multiplied because you wear a nice outfit, a nice shoes, and everybody say you are pretty. I'm telling you what I've seen. That's what people say. They say it's grace, so much grace. Hallelujah. You dress nice to church. You know? And you say, our church is full of grace. You don't need grace to dress nice. What do you need to dress nice? A fashion sense and money. Even though I have the fashion sense, employ somebody who has. Amen? How is grace and peace multiplied to you? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. Hallelujah. And that knowledge we're talking about is not just like, oh, I know Jesus. He was the greatest teacher. You know? Oh, I know Jesus is my pal. You know? My father likes him. Amen? The Greek word for knowledge in that verse is epignosis. And I'm not trying to impress you with Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar. But I'm only going there just to tell you that the epignosis means, it says precise and correct knowledge. Or correct and precise knowledge. Hallelujah. Correct and what? Precise. The type of knowledge you cannot get, yeah, by just skimming through. It's the type of knowledge you get by engaging with Him. It's the type of knowledge you get through what? Relationship with Him. It's the type of knowledge you get through meditating on Him. The type of knowledge you get through walking with Him. Hallelujah. Because as you walk with Him, yeah, as you know Him better. You see, I tell you something. If you say, you don't say, oh, you know, like, oh, I love Jesus so much. I love Him so much. I love Him more than every other thing. You can't love Him if you don't know Him. Okay, you can love Him if you don't know Him. But that love is superficial. As your knowledge of Him increases, so does your love of Him what? Increase. Hallelujah. And you can't serve Him properly if you don't love Him. You know why? Because sooner than later, He will tell you to do something that is not convenient. Hallelujah. He will tell you to do something that is not convenient. He will tell you to lay down your pride, lay down your ego, lay down your comfort, lay down something. And then you have to choose between the two masters. Whether you will please yourself or Him. So to serve Him properly, you need to be able to love Him properly. But you can't love Him properly if you don't know Him properly. Hallelujah. Or another way of saying it is this. Without grace, you can't serve Him properly. Hallelujah. And that grace is multiplied in you through what? The knowledge. Okay. That's why when you say, like, you know, when you went to the conference and you came out, you're feeling empowered, energized. So in the midst of a downward, this world is a downward. It just, you know, there are good things in this world. There are good things in this world. Not everything is bad. However, just the moment you thought you had got the hang of it, you cannot predict, you know, where a twist may come or a turn. And there's more downness in this world than there's good. So how do you keep your head up in a downward as a believer? You need to stay energized by the word of God. Hallelujah. Sometimes you want to do right, but every other person around you is doing the wrong thing. How do you stay energized? You have to keep your focus on the word of God. And I'm not just talking about reading your Bible every day. Yeah? There are many ways you can meditate on the word, including being in church on a Sunday like this. You are meditating on the word right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every time you engage, every time you fellowship, yeah? You are what? Meditating on the word. You are meditating. And because the word is not just a book, the word is a person. John, open your Bible to John chapter 1. Let's just emphasize that point. I'm sure I've emphasized it before, but it bears repeating. John chapter 1, verse 1-3. Yes, if you have. Yes, thank you, sir. John chapter 1, verse 1-3. Who is ready to read? John 1, 1-3. I'll come to you. John chapter 1, verse 1. Tell us which version, sir.
Amplified.
Okay.
In the beginning, before all time, was the word Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself.
Amen. In the beginning, yeah, this world we're talking about existed. It was with God, and it was actually God Himself. So the Word is a person. This is the point you get. The word is what? It's not just a book. It's what? A person. Hallelujah. The book is just like the map of him. Or the, what? What else can we say? The dictionary. Or what else can we use to describe? The book is just, you know, giving us information about him. But the word goes beyond the book. The word is a person. And the word is not just a person. The word is eternal. The word is not just eternal. The word is what? God. Please continue.
He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being.
Amen. Let me ask you one question now. Let me ask the science question. Anybody here, young people, can define for me matter? What is matter? What is matter? What is matter? Matter. M-A-T-T-E-L. Do you want to have a go? I'm not forcing you. Yeah. Hold it. Feel comfy, relax, then give us. What is matter?
Atoms coming together to form one thing.
Good, yes, okay, fine, that's correct. I just need more definition. What is matter? Any other definition? I like it, but I think we can do it in a different way. What's matter?
Anything that has mass and occupies space.
Anything that what? As mass and what? Occupy space is what? Matter. I like that. Yeah, good. Now let me change the question. Now, what is an atom? Atom. Come on. Atom. Have you done any chemistry and physics yet? No? Yes? No? Yes? What is an atom? Yes. You see where I'm going now?
It's made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons.
Yes, that's correct. But what is it? I don't even know what it is. You're telling me what it's made up of, yeah, but what is it? An atom. What's an atom? It's correct what you said, but what's an atom?
I can't really remember.
Yeah, just try it.
Like years ago. I think it's the smallest, smallest particle of an element. Is that what an atom is?
Yes, yeah, that's where I want to go. Yeah. Anybody wants to just modify that? There's no correct answer. I'm just looking for something. Andrew, what's an atom? Did you want to say? Yes. Well, remember, I'm trying to go that direction, yes?
A subatomic particle.
Okay, now, going deeper. Okay, anybody, one more? Look, all your answers are correct. I'm trying to drive you one way.
Non-scientific, because I'm a simple man. Substance.
Yeah. I mean, I used to come across something. Correct me. Is it true that someone defined atom as the smallest indivisible, you know, what? Constituent of matter. Well, that's not what the Bible said there. I mean, science is science. You know that very soon, atom is divided into protons, neutrons, and what? Electrons. And I'm sure that sometime in the future, they will discover something more and redefine it. That's science. The nature of science is always learning. So actually, there's no absolute truth in science. I know I'm saying this. You can go and check. Because we only know what we know. Then very soon, when we discover what we don't know, we'll revise what we know. That's why the Bible says, your word is truth. It's unchangeable. Because who is giving that information is eternal. Hallelujah. So, brother, again, please just read for me. John chapter 1 verse 2. You read it before? Just read it again. Please listen.
What, in KJV or?
Yeah, no, I think whatever you read it from.
All things were made and came into existence through him.
Yep.
And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being.
Hallelujah. That's where I want you to be. I just want to open up and see what is saying King James before I make my... cross-check myself before I make my statement. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Think about the atom. Yeah. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made.
Yeah.
So what were you made from? Matter, atom, or the word? Amen. It's the word of God that sustains your being. You can breathe. It's the word of God that makes it possible. You can think. Therefore you are. You exist. It's the word of God that makes it possible. Hallelujah. Everything that works in your body is the word of God that makes it possible. Hallelujah. And that's why your relationship with the word. Yeah. Your relationship with God is vital to your ability to function and to flourish and thrive. Yeah. The way God wants it to be. Hallelujah. Without the word, you will malfunction. Amen. Hallelujah. The word gives you the energy. The word gives you the energy, the ability to function right, the way God designed it to be. And when I say function right, I'm not just talking about your body. I'm also talking about your soul and your spirit. I'm talking about your mind. I'm talking about your emotions. Yeah? I'm talking about your imagination. I'm talking about your memory. Everything about you. The word sets you right. It brings you to order. You can function and try the way God in his mind designed you. So you know Psalm 139 says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. When God was making you, he had a picture in his mind of who you should be. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what you want to fulfill in this world. That is the measure of the success of your life. Amen. So it says grace and peace will be what? Multiply. So please, I want to ask you another question. What's the difference between addition and multiplication? And then I'm thinking, what is pastor? I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to engage your mind. Just to see spiritual things through basic simple truths. Why did he not say grace and peace be added? That's not bad. You know that they say there's four categories of people in life. They are the adders and the subtractors. And they are what? The multipliers. And what? The diviners. What's the difference between adding and subtracting and multiplying and dividing? Think about those four people. What's the difference between a adder? You have a friend. Or you have a business and someone is the adder to your business. Someone else is what? A subtractor. Someone has even left the level of being a adder. They are what? A multiplier. But somebody else is what? Please explain to me what are the... Help me to anybody try to explain to me the difference between these four types of people. Because we are going to grace and peace be multiplied. So let's start with. Yes? Who is the adder and who is the subtractor? Let's start with that one. Anybody? What is it? With your comment before, you know, you have to make sure that you are an adder. I'm joking. Go away.
I think it's basically they're used for an individual.
Mm.
And the multiplication is basically they're using for repeatedly addition.
Yeah. So, a multiplier, this is what you've given them. And they reproduce it in others. Yes, sir.
There can also be a godly subtractor. Because through prayer, you want to, with God's grace and input divine authority, reduce evil.
Yes. But in spirituals, if you are subtracting in a godly way, you're adding. I know it's like funny mathematics. Basically, you're taking, you know, if you're subtracting anything, if you remove anything evil, you're actually adding something good. Yes. But I get the point. Yes, come please.
Is it to do with like a person's role in life? So if you're a parent, you add and multiply things, but if you're a child, you sort of subtract and divide things. So in like whether you're in your company or where you work or anything like that, it, depending on your role, determines what it is that you're bringing to the equation, you know.
Let me speak it in a pastor's language. It's about maturity. When you're immature, you're likely to be subtracting and dividing. Let's talk about the child example. A subtracting child is a child that you told to do something, but they refuse to what? To do it. They subtracted. When I say, wash your plate, but you refuse what? Wash it. Then what happens eventually? You have to wash it. So they subtracted from you. What about the dividing one? They molded that behavior to every other child in the house. So that now, instead of having one subtraction, you have five. They didn't just model it. They taught them. They don't have to do it. Maybe we do it. That's a divider. Amen? A multiplier is somebody said, do something. They did it. Then they recruited others to doing it or correct it. Said, no, that's not the way they said it should be done. This is the way. Let's do it. They have multiplied. Hallelujah. It means that when you were not there, they were representing you well. Hallelujah. A divider is someone that you are doing business. They came into your business, learned your technique, and took away all your clients. Amen. So now it says grace and peace be multiplied. Amen. You need a what? What do you need? You need grace. Say, I need grace. And I need it in multiple fold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't just need it in adding. You need what? In multiply. And what the Bible is saying there is that as you walk with Jesus, as you walk what? With Jesus. Someone said, I believe in Jesus. You know, and they said, it's the way to heaven. But what they didn't understand is that the way it's meant to be walked. Amen? You walk the way. Yeah? If you are following Jesus, you follow him. Let me explain that again. If you are following Jesus, it means you want to be like Jesus. Amen? If your vision of your Christianity is like, if your vision of Christianity is just that I want to have a good life, a good house, a good car, a good wife, good children, plus twins. You know, a good job, a good pay, you know, good retirement pot, and an excellent burial when I leave, with a statue erected in my name. Hallelujah. That's not Christianity. Your Christianity is that I want to follow Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. If Jesus does not look like the picture of the person you want to be, you are not a genuine Christian. If Jesus, does not match up with, you think about Jesus and say, I don't want to be like that. I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus, but I don't want to be like Jesus. That means that you have believed the wrong thing. Amen? Jesus, I'm the way and the truth. And what? And the lie. Another word for truth is, I'm the reality. Any other thing is a fake thing. It's fake, it's empty. It will fall apart sometime. It will fail. It's not eternal. I am the truth. I am the life. Hallelujah. So I'm following Jesus. Yeah? Because I want to be like what? Jesus. In every aspect of the world. I just don't want to be holy. I want to be powerful. But I don't want to just be powerful. I want to be humble. I want to be meek. Hallelujah. I want to be sacrificial. Ultimately, I want to please God. Say with me, if you believe that, say, I want to please God. You know, that's, if someone say, write a mission statement for your life, and all you wrote was to please God, you are fulfilling the purpose of your life. Amen? He said, all things were created, and for your pleasure, they were created. Because your wanting to please God will drive your life in the right direction. It will help you to be making the right choices. It doesn't mean you will be perfect, but it means that where you are not perfect, you will be seeking grace. Amen? See, wherever you're not perfect, what do you need? You need grace. Yesterday I was chatting. I can't finish this message today, because I'll tell you about yesterday. I was chatting with Brozzi. We're talking about grace. Because the preacher yesterday, he spoke in 3 sessions. And I think within the space of 8-9 hours, he will have spoken almost 6 hours. I was like, I don't have the grace for that one. My mouth will be hurting me. Amen? But it was quite at ease. And even when he finished, I'm sure that he could continue another session. Amen? So we're looking at different people with their grace. So like, brother, see, what's your grace now? I said, well, for me, you know, if I go to bed, I have a standard sleep time. If I try to go earlier, I either will struggle to sleep before that time, or I will sleep off and wake up and then not have sleep. Then my brother told me, like, for him, any time of the day, no matter what's happening, the moment he lands, his pillow is gone. I said, that is grace. Your grace. Your grace. Some people struggle in that area. Hallelujah. There are some things that other people struggle, but it just comes easy to you. It's grace. And then some people's grace is cooking. I mean mass cooking. They will just do it so gracefully. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Same reason I need grace. Hallelujah. And Bible says, through my knowledge, through my relationship, through my experience, through my engagement, through my fellowship with Jesus Christ, He is the person. Yeah? Grace and peace is multiplied unto me. So I need to get on with the business of engaging with Jesus, of meditating on Jesus. That includes meditating on the word, of fellowshipping with Jesus, of relating with Jesus, of following Jesus. Grace and peace will multiply. Let me ask 2 questions. We started somewhere late, so I need to just 2 questions. Question now. What is grace? Yeah, anybody define grace for me? What is grace? We know that grace is not wearing the nicest clothes and everybody telling you that you're looking gorgeous. What is grace? Yes.
Godly empowerment.
Godly empowerment. Yes, more? That's a good one. Yes, what is grace? Don't be shy. Don't be in this church, we're not shy.
I'd say unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. Is God just... Yes, more? What is grace? Come on, help me. Don't be shy. What is grace? Grace? What is grace? You know something about grace. What is grace? Should I come?
Yeah.
Everything?
No, I mean, is ease of doing things that can only be given by God.
Still coming back to godly empowerment. Yes? Any other one? Let's take one more. For time. What is grace?
It's God's will.
It's God's will. Yeah? Yes? Yes, I take that. So, Daniel, I'm coming to you now. Because I wanted to read something before, so I give it the mic. 2 Peter. Please open your Bible, 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Just to define, bring it together, all you said. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Someone said, I have the grace to kill people. Is that grace? That's why God's will matters, isn't it? Amen? God's will matters in this grace business. Yeah? God will not empower you to rebel against him. Yeah? God will not empower you to go ahead and do what does not please him. We will not call that grace. Amen? It may be a talent. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 and 3. Yes, go for it. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3, and then we will define grace from there. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3.
New King James Version.
Yes, sir.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
Hallelujah. So what is grace? It says, his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to what? Life. And what? Godliness. Grace is the divine power of God working in your life. Yeah? So that you can produce godliness. Amen? In every aspect of life. Grace is God's empowerment to do what God pleases God. Amen? In every part of your life. Grace is empowerment. It's a gift. But I want to see grace from the point of view of it's an empowerment. He said, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, you want me to do this, but I can't do it. Please give me what? Grace. Lord, I'm struggling here, but I really want to do your will. Give me what? Grace. Lord, I'm not naturally skilled in this area. That's why I said grace is not talent. And grace is not skill. Grace is what? Empowerment. Grace can go beyond your talent. Grace can go beyond your skill. Hallelujah. Or another way of saying that, grace can go beyond your human ability. Hallelujah. It can go beyond. In fact, if your human ability could do it, you don't need grace. Hallelujah. You need grace because your human ability cannot do it. If your human ability can perfectly live above sin, and you could be sinless in your human ability, you don't need grace. Hallelujah. But you can't. Let me even tell you now, don't even at least say you're trying. Thousands of years, they've tried. Yeah? You can't live above sin your human ability. What do you need? You need grace. It's his divine power. Yeah? That is enabling you or giving you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll ask one more question, then we'll leave it there. The question is, what is grace? Can you go deeper? Grace is divine ability. But somebody read for me, John chapter 1, read John chapter 1 verse 14. This is a rounding up note. So within 3 minutes, I want to finish there. John chapter 1 verse 14 to 16. John 1, 14 to 16. Let's have someone else read. John 1, 14 to 16. Anybody who has not read? Yes. John chapter 1, verse 14 to 16. Let's have it two versions. New Living Translation and New King James or King James. John 1, 14 to 16. Then I'll ask you another question. What is grace? The same question. For a different answer.
This is NLT.
Yes.
So the world became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.'" Amen.
Verse 17.
Okay. "From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ."
Amen. 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 Let's have New King James or King James? Yes. Please listen. You get the answer from these two versions. John 1. 14 to 17, please read.
John 1, 14 to 17, New King James Version. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Full of what?
Grace.
And?
Truth.
The Word is full of what? Grace and truth. Literally speaking, the Word of God, including your Bible, what is it full of?
Grace and truth.
But we know that the Word is not just a book. The Word is a person. And who is that person? Jesus. What is it full of? Grace and truth. Keep reading.
John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace."
Grace for grace. We have received his fullness. You know who is talking here? It's John that is talking. He's not saying we all, like all human. John is saying that he has received of his fullness. Grace for what? Grace. The disciples have received of his fullness. Grace for grace. So you also can receive of what? His fullness. Grace for grace. And continue.
For the law was given
through Moses. This is the clincher. For the law was given, or it came through Moses. Or if you want to say it in Hebrew, it's Moshe. Mm. Hallelujah. Sometimes I wish the Bible in my mother tongue, I wish the translator translated it from Hebrew, not from English. You know, because it was originally written in Hebrew and Greek. So why go back to the original language when you want to translate? So you get the words right. It's Moshe. Continue.
But grace and truth came through Jesus
Christ. Grace and truth came through what? Jesus Christ. So last question and we finish there. What is grace? Anybody who is ready? Grace. You saw the answer there. The answer is there. But according to John chapter 1, verse 14 to 17, what is grace? So grace is what? Jesus. Grace is a person. Hallelujah. It's Jesus. Grace is a person. You know, sometimes I've heard people talk about the gospel of grace. It annoys me. You know why? Because I feel it's shallow. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know? Because sometimes when you say the gospel of grace, I think it takes something away. I think it puts your focus in the wrong place. The grace is a person. Hallelujah. That person is what? Jesus. It is Jesus that is the full package. Hallelujah. Jesus is the package. Hallelujah. Jesus is the one you want to eat and drink. And I tell you something, if that scares you, you're not really a true believer. Amen? Eat him, drink him. Hallelujah. All the days of your life, continue to do what? Eat Jesus. And what? Drink Jesus. Let him enter you fully until he's oozing out of you in every day, every moment. Hallelujah. His grace. And what is he? His truth. Grace is a person. Let's rise up. Let's finish it there. Grace is a person. Hallelujah. And because grace is a person, as we know him, as we engage with him, as we relate with him, as we meditate on him, as we follow his example and emulate him, grace. Because basically, as we do that, we begin to have more and more of him dominate us. That's our grace. What is what? It's multiplied. Hallelujah. As you take him more on board, his fullness dominates you. Grace for grace. So pray and say, "Lord, I want more of you." Hallelujah. I want what? More. That's grace. I want more of you. And we're going to sing that song, but pray and say, "Lord Jesus." And I hope that is your Lord. Because if not your Lord, you're going nowhere. And if he's not your Lord, you fix that right now. You make him your Lord. But of course, when you say he's your Lord, you're signing up that he should be your master, no longer you yourself. Say, "Lord Jesus, I want more of you. I want you to dominate me completely." You're the one voluntarily yielding yourself to him. He's not forcing you. I have seen that you are the way. You are the truth and you are the life. There's no life. There's no Zoe outside of you. No. 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 There's no truth outside of you. You are the package. There's no way. There's no other way. So Jesus, I take you on board fully. Let your word rule my life. I want to follow your way. Because you are the way. I want to follow your truth. Because you are what? The truth. I want to live not just as a human, the bios, but I want to live the Zoe, the life of God, the victorious life of God. A life that is victorious over sin, sickness and disease, Satan, oppression, depression, you know, demons, manipulation. That is Zoe. A life that is based on agape, the love of God, that seeks the best interest of everyone at every time. Agape is not always nice, but it's always good. It's always seeking the best interest. Pray and say, Lord, I want more of you. Thank you, Lord. We're going to sing that song, I Want More of You. That's good. And we'll finish it there. The song says, you make my life so beautiful. And as you have made me here on earth. And there's nothing greater than this. And that's why I love you. I want more of you. The more I know you, the more I want to know you. Jesus, more of you.
And so, Father, we pray that you help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To become more and more like Jesus. In his love and in his power. In his holiness. In his glory. In his beauty. In his righteousness. In his truth. We ask for grace. And we ask that we deepen in our knowledge of Jesus. That guarantees that this grace will be multiplied. For in Jesus' name we are praying.